Hello, hello.
Hi, Wendy. I've missed you.
I missed you too.
It's been a couple weeks.
I know. It's good to be back here.
Yes.
Doing our thing. And I'm excited about this episode where we get to unpack a little bit more about what we learned this whole season, what our takeaways are, what our experiences have been. I know I've had a lot of magical moments in this space with you and our guests. And
ditto. A lot of insights, a lot of aha moments, a lot of inspiration, a lot of laughing.
A lot of wine.
Yes. A lot of wine, which is why we started this. So we achieved our goal of spending time together in creation as friends.
Yes.
And I just have loved this journey. And we're going to look back on the first 11 episodes, our first season, and talk about our top three takeaways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you dive in first.
Okay. So for me, the season as a whole has been one where I like to find that thread that brings all of these stories together.
Yes.
And my favorite part I've taken away the most are those ways in which all of these creators, makers, dreamers, those stories just weave together so effortlessly because of the community that we have around us, both in our backyard, our literal yards, but also in the greater community of the world, and how it ripples bigger than our little tiny table here and connects us all like deeply. It's just this intricate web. And for me, what it's all about is this creation of community through story, through understanding and unpacking people's passions and how they got to where they are. That was really the most rewarding for me, is hearing how we all intersect unexpectedly.
Yes. And my first takeaway is very much that, and maybe a little bit more specific. I think a big aha moment in this room was, as we have also conversations around technology and AI and where we are in a moment in time, it felt like we kept coming back to being human and the opposite of technology. And I think that was important for me to hear, is this idea that there's so much value, both emotional and financial, investing in practices that reflect the human hand that made them, whether it's food or a home good or fashion, that is going to become more precious as we move forward. And if we can curate our lives, I think you've said a couple times, I love this, if you create a life of art, everything you wear, everything you have, everything, you're just intentional about everything that surrounds you, there's so much value in that. And there is a financial kind of piece to it. So I think that was what you just said, but maybe in a different way of grounding us back in humanity. Technology is allowing us to have these conversations online.
Right.
But I think it's the human piece that makes them interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of my favorite kind of discussions that we had was around how we use our words to communicate, and how just messy words can be, and that being in physical space with people and exchanging words, that can be so much more valuable than doing it via text message or even written in a book or on a web. I was just gonna say weblog. A blog.
In the interweb.
On the interwebs. Oh my gosh, I'm not even drinking, y'all. It's like a whole thing. It's like,
you're an older millennial, so you get a pass.
I'm
like me.
Yes, yeah.
We're older millennials. We're Oregon Trail millennials.
Yes. Oh, totally. Yes, yeah. So yeah, that was one of my sticky things, those moments where we get to dig in a little bit deeper with the verbiage, the words that we use and how we express ourselves through language, and how the language could be flowers, or the language could be art or wine or...
Yeah.
And I love that conversation around, honestly, seeking to be seen in some ways, seeking connection through this exchange. And that's really what, for me, transactional love is all about.
Yeah. And speaking of transactional love, one huge takeaway that even though we intend to have conversations around transaction and buying, why we buy, each of our guests, we always kept coming back together to this place that consumption does not equal happiness.
Right.
That yes, there's reasons why we buy, but that doesn't equal true joy and fulfillment and our own sense of self. It's important to invest in the stories that you want to keep alive, mm-hmm. but life is so much bigger than what you own, what you consume. So it was almost this yin and yang of the importance of responsible, intentional consumption, but also that doesn't create happiness. It's
right.
the way we view the world.
The transaction that's actually love is that support of this human who is creating community with you. So you're actually just holding space through your dollars for this other person to do the thing that lights them up, because it also lights you up.
Yes.
Having community with them, whether that's personally taking that item home with you or it's having that experience with them,
yeah,
that allows for connection to occur.
Yeah. I love that. What is your final takeaway?
We should totally tag this episode with Brené Brown, because she's doing this whole deep dive right now on human scale, because I think that is the takeaway for me, is that I am understanding how easy it is for us to get so far away from each other so quickly.
Yes. That's such a good point.
And still feel like we're connected, but that connection isn't really true. It isn't the same as if I'm sitting across the table from you. And there's so much value in that human experience of togetherness, that exchange of energy that can only happen person to person. In some small way, transactional love allows me to feel like I have control and ownership of my experience in my own world, voting with my dollar for in-person human moments.
Yeah.
That is my biggest takeaway, is that all of the people that we spoke with all season kept coming back to their why being something that's so tactile in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yeah. And I definitely felt that with the guests that were with us. And comparing that to the guests that dialed in, because it was such a gift to have people from really all over the world at this point. And yeah, it was a totally different experience in person.
Yeah.
And even when we would hang up with someone dialing in, we would say, next time we're going to be in person, because you have that desire to right. shake that hand, give the hug, really feel that energy. So I 100% agree with you. And I think my last big takeaway.
Yeah. What's your big takeaway?
I think it's looking at everyone's journey. Every single person we welcomed has arrived in a sense in what truly lights them up. And I think even you and I, we are in a place where we've stumbled into whatever it is that lights us up. Mm-hmm. So I think the consistency that I heard is that all the tougher moments that weren't quite there yet equipped us and prepared us.
Yes.
So all of the tension that you might have in life, all those chapters that you might not know why something is happening, in retrospect, it's all meant to be. These stories are all still unfolding, but it all makes sense, right? And mm-hmm. there's been tough moments in my life where I just don't understand, and you just know you have to get through it and survive. And I think it's given me that pull to keep going and really just trust what's happening and know that it's meant for you.
Yeah.
Matisse agrees. She's
given
her plus one.
Matisse is here in studio with
our
us.
Podcast doggy.
Our pod dog.
Wants to be heard.
Yeah.
Her ditto.
Oh, I love that. What else are you looking forward to for next season? Do you have any thoughts about what next season might bring?
Yes. We already started recording.
Yes.
I'm excited because one of our first episodes that we're dropping is one that discovered us.
Yes.
Out of Peru,
of
all places, and so inspiring and incredible. And yes, they dialed in because we were not able to travel to Peru with
not
life.
Yet.
not yet. But yes. But that one was really exciting. So that's a little snippet that's upcoming. But I think to me, looking ahead to some of those episodes mm-hmm. that we've already recorded, a lot of these lessons stay consistent. So.
Yeah.
We're starting to discover what this little podcast is about as we go. And I think it's starting to get clear.
Yeah, I agree. That clarity is definitely coming. So I'm looking forward to seeing how much more we can get out of our guests in the next season. Because although these stories have been amazing and wonderful, sometimes I feel like listening back to them, they're these beautiful, like, meanderings through a life's journey. And that's amazing and so fun to listen to. But now that we have, through the telescope, have seen what our North Star is, it's not just a sea of stars anymore.
And we're also going to be on the road. We're going to France.
We are going to be on the road. We have so much.
We're going to be recording in France.
We're going to be recording in France.
I don't know if it'll be season 2 or season 3, but that is ahead. And I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that all came from us hitting record. Yeah. Deciding to just try this.
Just try a thing and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, chin.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
With our non-wine.
Yeah. We can't wait to take you on more adventures. Thank you for spending your valuable time with us this season.
And we'll see you in season two.
In this episode, we wanted to share some of our best highlights from all of our conversations. Thank you to all of our guests, whether you were dialing in from somewhere around the world or with us in person. We were so inspired and grateful for you.
I think entrepreneurship fundamentally is for brave people. It's messy, it's not perfect, and you have to be scrappy and you have to be fearless. I'm not really a master planner. It wasn't an intentional plan or MO even to respond to serendipity, but I have mad respect for serendipity and people recognize it and respond to it in a positive way.
I would say the number one thing is to be patient. It's not an overnight thing. Growth takes time, and there's going to be times where the growth is going to be very stagnant and you get discouraged from that. Telling myself to be patient and that eventually will work out as long as you don't give up on it and you keep going. It sounds so simple, but those words are really heavy and they mean so much. Because if you don't keep going, then you're 100% certain that you're never going to reach your goal.
In the beginning, I was really focused on the financial piece and just building, and I wasn't thinking so much about finding joy in my day and the knowing that it'll never be balanced. It never will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one ever is. I think if I had really gone into it with that mindset of not trying to be balanced, but just enjoying the struggle, I think I would have been more prepared for a lot of the ups and downs.
My customer is someone who cares about the quality of life for everyone who touches a product, knowing that their purchases do no harm, first of all, and perhaps even do some good. I think as consumers, we have a lot of power with our purchases.
Yes.
So the customer that shops with me wants to know that they're spending money on products that were created by people that were treated fairly, paid fairly, and have a good quality of life.
I spent a lot of time on the water, staring at the sea, speaking with the sea, ruminating on life, but also listening to song lyrics. It was my dad, who was my first teacher, who really would say to me, it was like we were in church. He'd say, "Do you hear that line? That's such a beautiful line." Mm. And I would say, "Yeah, it is." And he'd be like, "Okay, now tell me why." Mm-hmm. Like, what makes that line so good? And why is this universal human truth that's hitting us in the heart? So I think that from an early age, I was really drawn to the idea of how we can use words as a mode of connection. I think that I was always trained by my family to look for magic, to look for adventure, to think about this is gonna make a great story.
I have started multiple businesses. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of them never got off the ground. It was just an attempt. No, two. Same. Two of them never got off the ground. Early.
Yeah.
Small businesses that I did in the UK. And then one of them did very well. But this one is the one that I love. I think people sometimes think that they need to start a business and succeed. But really, the first few times you start a business, you're just learning how to run a business. Mm-hmm. And those skills, you put them in your tool belt and you'll come back and use them later. So nothing's a waste.
I did Peace Corps as well, and I lived in Ghana for 6 months. And I took away from that that Americans may not be very happy. We have a lot of stuff, but that requires management, and there's a lot of stress. And I would tell my students in Ghana, because we'd talk, and you know, they were like, "Oh, you have a car, you're so wealthy." And I was like, how do you define wealth? And wealth and happiness are two totally different things, because yes, there's extreme poverty in many places, even in the U.S. And I think if you don't have clothing, shelter, that is incredibly difficult and stressful and will affect your happiness. But a lot of the people I met in Ghana that had those things, I think they were way happier than most Americans, because they spent a lot more time with friends and family. And it was a real rude awakening for me.
Whatever it is, when you get to your goal, you recognize it's just part of a journey. Mm-hmm. You fill in your own blanks in that, and it could be monetary, it could be familial, it could be a career, it could be giving back to the world, it could be that you want to learn how to cook better. And that is your biggest pleasure in life, is to come up with amazing meals every day. And the self-discovery, I think, is ultimately what we're all after.
This is Wendy and Norma. We love hearing from you, your comments, your likes, your stars, all of the things really resonate with us. So tell us what's working for you so we can continue to deliver that magic. This is Wendy and Norma inviting you to transact with love.